Blog Talk Radio.
Earth to God, come in, God. I know you're there, hearing our prayers wherever you are. We need you now to send your love down. Take away the pain in your holy name. We ask this now. We need your light, we need your love to heal the world you made. And save us now in our darkest hour with your amazing grace. Earth to God, we're holding on, but not for long. Can you pull us all close to the Holy Ghost and keep us strong?
Because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord. And we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer. And Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our trouble lies, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Mark Hinton this morning, and he's praying that prayer of faith. I love that prayer. I love that prayer. Hallelujah. And we thank God this morning for another Thursday morning. We are headed into the weekend, and we are grateful unto Almighty God. He has brought us this far this week, and he's going to carry us even further. And we thank him. We thank him. We can't tell him thank you enough today, for he's been good to us. And this morning I had a quick topic I wanted to just share. And it is all yours, believers. It's all yours to the believer. I began to think about the things that I spoke, about the things that I wanted. And these are not all needs, but they are the things that I want. And I began to speak those things and believe that God was going to do it. And he come and he let me know to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So I began to wait on him, yet, you know, speaking out of my mouth, the things that I wanted, the things that I desired in my heart. And God began to move. Oh, yeah, he began to move. And a lot of the things I wanted was home repairs. And I needed the lanai cleaned, you know, pressure washed the floors and the top of the pool and, you know, just get it real clean and real nice, you know, like it was when I first moved here. And I didn't know which way to turn, and God gave me a company to look at. And when I went to them, they said, yeah, we'll do it. And the price that they gave me was unbelievable. But this is the thing. When God be for you, everything will work out in your favor. God know what's in your purse. He know what's in your wallet. He know what's in your pocket. He know what's in your bank account. And he will work this out. Because I learned years ago, don't look at something and say, oh, they're going to want this. Because, see, I was leaning to my own understanding. I was being wise in my own eyes. Even concerning certain jobs, I said, oh, no, I'm not going to apply for that. They're going to want this kind of degree and that kind of degree. But if it's for you, God will show you. They don't want what you think. They want what I got. Yeah. What I gave you, that's what they're asking for. And so I learned from that. So I was blessed to get the lanai clean. I was blessed to go back and get the roof tied in correctly and repairs, you know, done to the house, and had the pool guy to come out. He didn't know what it was because there's a pool and a pond. The pool is under the lanai and the pond is in the backyard. So he didn't understand. So he said, I got to be honest with you. And I said to myself, Lord, I thank you because I don't need him tearing up nothing, you know. And so today there's the right pool company and pond company coming out to take care of things. And I'll move on from there and get the next item done. Because, see, I wanted to do it all at one time. That's what I was thinking. And doing it all at one time, it was very expensive. But waiting on the Lord, he showed me you could do one thing at a time, what's most needed first, and then the things that you just actually want. Because how many know pavers in your yard is not a need, it's a want. Because in my yard, I have a concrete little sidewalk that leads to the driveway. When you open the garage door and you walk out into a paved driveway. So it's not what I need, it's some things that I wanted. And God began to move, but I had to wait. I had to wait on him and be of a good courage. And he's strengthening my heart because I'm seeing what he's doing. I remember a few months back, my youngest brother, come over and he pressure washed the sidewalk and the driveway. I was not expecting that at all. And he came over and he was glad to do it. He gave him something to do for the day. And matter of fact, he bought all the stuff he needed to clean it. Now, I bought the pressure washer itself, but he brought the cleaning solutions and everything. And I mean, when he got through, it looked brand new. I was like, wow, I didn't even know this needed pressure washing. But see, men know some stuff. Yeah, they do. And got that done. And it started kind of from there. And God went on and began to move for me. Now I got a project coming up with a maintenance guy who will put the seals back under the doors. You know, when you put a seal under the door, when you look, you can't even see the daylight outside. No bugs or nothing like that can come in. So these seals are worn. So he's coming to put new seals. I have lights around the house, and some of the bulbs had gone out, so he's coming to replace those bulbs. And look, the bulbs don't cost over a couple of dollars. And he's not going to charge me a whole lot because it's not a heavy-duty maintenance job. It's a screw in, screw out, go to the next one. Yeah. The front porch light, it went out, so he coming to put that bulb back. The lights under the lanai, he's coming to put those back. there are lights that go around the little tiny hedges around the outside of the lanai. They cut on and off every night on their own. It's set to automatic. The sprinkler system is set to automatic, and they come every 3 months and reset the sprinklers. So God, you know, he included some things. And what we want, we can have. The believer can have what they want. It is all yours, but it all starts with believing God. It all starts with faith. And when we obey God, when we work unto him, he won't withhold no good thing from us. When we show him love, God, Father, I love you, and I'm doing the best that I can. I'm human. Human forgets. You made me. You know all about me. Help me, Lord, to be what you would have me to be. Don't let me be what I want to be, but you bless me to be who you would have me to be. This way I can please you more. You're not coming against my will. I'm asking for it because this is what I really want. No, mean it when you say it now and know what you're saying because it's coming. It's coming that you can become his. And who he want you to become, you will become that. See, because I used to be somebody else. I was my own. And being my own, I was foolish. Being my own, I did a lot of crazy things. Being my own, I was doing things against him and against his people. Yeah. So our prayer is that we would be who he would have us to be because he would come in and change us. We will become new creatures in Christ. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. But we got to want this. And I found this out, and this is the real truth. This is the real truth. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He is that. He shines bright, and he's a shield. He'll protect. The Lord will give grace and glory. Wake up to brand new grace every morning. And when it's time, it's him that show glory. Even for me. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 87 and 11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That walk uprightly. Guess why? Many are saying, I need God to do this. I've seen so much stuff on Facebook. God gonna do this and he'll do that. But are you walking uprightly before him? Oh, I know God gonna do this. Oh, I know that. Oh, are you pleasing him? Are you doing the things that he can accept? Because when our ways please him, he won't withhold no good thing from us. There's nothing he won't do from us. When we work unto him, not unto ourselves, looking for pat on the back, looking for brownie points and hero cookies, but when we love him and we love his people, we have the patience and the time to work with his people. He see the love we have. And he told us as believers, see, we're the household of faith. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. He said to love one another. Not as the world loves, but as he loved. And if we look back at Jesus, he had a bunch of compassion because he had love. Even the woman at the well, look what he told her. That woman at that well, remember her? Remember the blind man. Remember what he told the blind man. He spit on the ground and put it with mud and put it on the man's eye, and then he told him where to go wash. Thank you, Jesus. He went to the wedding. They was running out of wine. And he told him to bring him the pots of water. His mother was there. Mary was there. And she said, whatever he says to do, do it. He turned the water into wine. And the guest said to the one who was through the party, in other words, who was getting married, he said, you save the best wine for last. Usually you drink up the good wine first because people would get drunk and then they didn't know what they were drinking. But he said, you save the best for last. Remember all these things he did. And he will do the same for us. But it all starts with faith, trusting him. In other words, believing it's going to happen. You don't know when, but you know it's coming. And what can I do today to bless somebody else, especially a member of the household of faith? I don't have a whole lot, but what I have, I'm willing to share it. Who is it that I can share with today? And not always our family and family members. How about strangers? People that you'll never see again, people that will never come back and give back to you. Because many times we give to our family, we give to the children, the grandchildren, nieces, nephews. See, these people here, they have an opportunity to come back and give to you, even in your older years. But when you give to a stranger, they are gone. You may never see them again. So when you gave to the stranger, you gave not expecting anything back. They're never coming back. And then I've seen cases where I've given to the stranger, they went away. I didn't know them, never expected to see them again, and that was the day they showed up and showed up with a gift in their hand for me. I've been looking for you. I was asking over here, there, and everywhere, and I found you. Sometimes the stranger's able to come back and bless you. God loves a cheerful giver. He does. And when we can give and let go, I heard Mike Murdoch say that he kind of envied those that happy when they give, and he said they couldn't have gave too much because when you give more, you feel sick. Listen, not if you're walking by faith and not by sight, not if you know this is of God. Now, if you've given this to get something back from God and you're not happy to just give because you automatically should know if you give, he's going to give back to you. He even calls men to give into your bosom, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. So when you really know these things and you really believe these things and you really believe God, you're not sick over it. You're rejoicing because you know soon and very soon you're about to be blessed. Now that's if you believe that. Now this is what he said, and he's teaching all this prosperity about planning. You see, we got to be careful. We got to be careful. That's all. Yeah. But at least he was open and honest. Yeah, but people tell me a lot of things. But the God that I know, and according to his word, and he's not a lying God, how can I say this but do that? When I tell you, he told me, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, this is his word. And when I waited on God, he came. But now in waiting on him, I occupied until he came. And what that means is this, I still served people. I still took phone calls. I still took prayer requests over the phone and prayed over the phone. Folk all out of Alaska was reaching out to me. And I would take time to minister with them over the phone and pray for them. Some days I would take a nap because I knew later on I got to get up and get some stuff done. Sometimes I take a nap, go to bed at 5:30 in the evening because I know later on that night, 10, 11 o'clock, I'm going to be up and I'm going to be ministering to people who are 4 hours behind me, their time. You see, working. Not making excuses saying, hey, You could call me, but that time of night, I'm in bed. That time of night, you know, is when I got to have some sleep, is when I got to have some rest. But the Lord set things up so I could do things this way and that way so I can be prepared for this when it comes because I got to work over here. And I'm doing all of this believing God. And he loves a cheerful giver. And all of this is given because there's no charge. There's no charge for praying for people. There's no charge for ministering to people. Sometimes I just have a conversation with people. It's not what God said. It's just a conversation. Because it's what's needed at the time. Yeah, I've had people come and say, "You busy?" I'm so sorry. I am always busy. I know it appears that, you know, I'm just doing nothing and we just this and that. I'm always busy. There is always work for me to do. Number one, it's free. And when things are free, people, good things are free, people take their advantage of it. How many people ever went to the store with coupons or heard about couponers? They're always cutting out coupons. They're always checking the dates. Why? It's free. And once they learn how to do it, they go and add it. You've seen the size, free this and free that, and you tried it, and it was actually free. Then the line started growing. More and more people started coming because they didn't have to pay money, and those who didn't have no money, it blessed them real good because it was free. It was moneyless. So when your ways please the Lord, he's not going to withhold no good thing from you. When you're willing to work for his people, when you're willing to bless his people, when you're willing to obey him, you're not sitting back scared or making excuses because he didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And many times we want to do things in a way that the world can accept it. I just go on and do it because God said it. I can't wait. I can't wait. He spoke. And he let me know now. Do it right now. You don't have to wait. Look, I do a thing called My Points. Anybody ever, you open up emails, and each email you open up give you so many points. And I usually use, excuse me, Brother Lua, I don't know where the chat went. Okay. I usually use it for the holidays, for Christmas, to buy, you know, Christmas gifts. And I had opened this one point up and got this thing. It gave me 20,000 points. I had never had that many during the whole time. And they come back and they took the 20 points. And I wrote them and they told me to give them 35 days. I gave them more than 35 days. I never heard no more. So I wrote them back and they told me to print screen this and print screen that, and I didn't even know how to print screen. But I went online and found out how to print screen. So they didn't send me all now because I was supposed to get points for the alarm system. But they gave me the 20,000 that I was due. So I was blessed. Well, I went in to see what rewards could I get for my points. And there was one for PayPal where I could get $100. Well, I clicked on it, but I didn't think it had gone through, so I said, well, I'll just take a $100 Walmart card. Well, I woke up this morning, that was $100 in my PayPal account from the My Points. Now, I said the pool guy was coming. When I tell you, he will open a door and he will make a way, because I'm not the one to just constantly beg people for money. I'm just not that way. And I don't like really asking, especially for money. I'm not one to ask people to drive your car. Yeah, can I use your stove? I'm just not that way. The songwriter said God has blessed the child that has his own. And because I know he's a way maker, because I truly know he has demonstrated to me, he has proved it to me over and over again, because I know if I ask him for it, he'll deliver. If I ask, he's going to give it. So that's one, not that I'm prideful, not that I'm too proud to say, well, hey, Brother Lou, I need $50. Look, Brother Frank, I need $100. No, not because pride, but because I can ask him and he'll make a way. He'll do it for me. I retired unto him. I didn't retire unto Social Security. I didn't retire unto the world. I didn't retire unto Aflac or my job. I retired from the world to work for Almighty God full time. And some people will say, well, no, I don't want it like that. I want it so I can see the income. But once you know God, once you put perfect practice into practice, hey, you get to know some things. And you know not to be weary in well-doing, because if you want to do it because you need an income, well, Lord, if I stop doing this and I don't work, I don't know. Go back to his word. Stand on his word. He's going to allow his word to perform because you're expecting it to, and you're standing on it, and he won't disappoint you because he knows the very intent of your heart. He knows you got to pay bills. I remember Jerry telling me this. She said, Barbara, my credit score was 400 and something. She said, and my income was only the one you get every other week. That was the income I had. And she said, it was running out, Barbara. It gave out this week and next week. My money came. I think it was from Social Security or something, her retirement. That money came. So he never stopped giving to her. She didn't know the money was coming that quick. She thought it would be much longer. And she had just recently put in for the second money, the Social Security, let's say. She had just recently put in for that, but look what God did. See, we are overcome by these testimonies and the blood of the Lamb. If we'll talk about these things, somebody going to hear and somebody going to believe God for theirs because they need him and they don't have no other way. Sometimes we're older and we have children, but they're going on with their lives. And some children don't think about the parents, that the parents need something, or even that the parents want something. Because many times we have children. Now, I look at a lot of things that overseas, when they have children, many people have a lot of children because they are expecting in their older age to be taken care of by these children. For them, it's an investment. I invested in you. I made sure that you were well taken care of. I made sure that you could go to college. And even while you was in college, I was able to help you to be taken care of while you was in college. Now you graduated. Now you have a job. And it's not a job that pays minimum wages. I sent you to school so that you could get all that you need, so that when the time comes, you can take care of family and your parents. Yeah. So many times, yeah, that's what it was, unemployment. The unemployment run out 1 week, the next week, she get her money that she can live off forever. Yeah. And it increases once a year. But listen. This is what they do. In some countries, the grandparents, they never see the nursing home. The parents never see the nursing home. They stay home, and the children take good care of them. Y'all know I love cooking. I watch these cooking videos from overseas. I don't forgot the name of the place. But they cook outside a lot. Oh, it's amazing what this woman can do outside with a fire. And her mom is there always with her. And it could be, I don't know if it's Russia or where, but they dress real heavy for the winter. And their heads are always covered with, you know, scarves and things. But they take very good care of the mother. And the son come out sometimes. So, you know, when it's warmer, the mom come out with the daughter, and they sit outside at the little table, and they cooking together. And she give the mom so much to do. And the mom watching her to make sure she's doing it right, because the mom taught her. But the mom is elderly, you know, well up in age. I want to say this woman probably around 90 years old. But the mom is overweight. You can tell. They feed her good. They make these teas out of flowers and different things. But this is what's supposed to take place. The children are supposed to take care of the parents in their older years if they need the help. Because you've taken care of your children. But see, today, we have spoiled our children, many. We've given our children too much, thinking, I don't want them to go through what I've gone through, and that they would appreciate that, but they don't. It becomes a sense of entitlement. They feel like, I'm supposed to have this. I'm your child. You're supposed to give this to me. But that's not what happens. I'm supposed to give you three hearts and a cot, a roof over your head, clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, teach you right from wrong and tell you the truth and encourage you and love you. That Xbox you got, I wasn't supposed to do that. I didn't have to do that. I'm going to look for it, Brother Mike. I will look for it in a few minutes, and I will send it to you. Yeah, it's not what I'm supposed to do. I got you the Xbox because I believe you would enjoy it, and I see how you are about the Xbox when other kids have it, and you're always talking about it. So it's something your heart desires. I want you to have it, so I'm going to purchase you an Xbox. But now you acting as if I'm supposed to give you that you will do that Xbox. No, you wasn't. Here you come, Mama. I need a pair of Jordans. I need a pair of Nikes. I bought you Nikes, not Jordans. Because he told me, Mike said them was for rich people. They wasn't for the average bear. That's what Mike said at his own mouth. Michael Jordan. So look, I bought you those Nikes because they're quality shoes and they're going to last you a very long time. I didn't buy you Nikes to be fashionable. But we spend our money wisely. Cheap is always expensive. If I had bought you a pair of cheap shoes, in a little bit I would have to buy you another pair. But I bought you a pair of Nikes, you have a pair of Adidases, you have another pair of Nikes, and you have three name brand shoes that you can switch back and forth that you don't wear one pair out. So three good pair of sneakers should last you a very long time. Now, you may have taken one pair to use in gym at school, so you're using that pair every day in gym. The other, you just switch them all up and wear them when you can. But I didn't have to buy you these. I bought you these because we're running a tight ship at our house and we're not wasteful with money. But don't get grand like I'm supposed to buy you Nikes. I have, as a parent, you do Nikes. And see, we messed up a lot with that. We messed up. Yeah. I'm sending my child to school with Louis Vuitton. What? I taught mine. Look here. We'll go to the thrift store. We'll mix it with some tennis stuff, some JCPenney's fashion, and some thrift store fashion. And from now, every now and then, we'll mix a little Walmart fashion in with that. because I'm not sending you to school for a fashion show. I'm sending you to school to get an education, to get not what I need, but to get what you need. So when the time come, 18 hit, or 17, you off to school, or if you chose to go in the military, when you return, you're able to take care of yourself. You're a grown adult now. You're no longer dependent on me. See, there were some things taught. I saw my oldest son, I hate to say it, but it's true, baby mama. I saw her put a post out to her family because she's white and my oldest son black. Like you didn't know that. Like you didn't know he was black. Y'all forgive me. So she put a post out to her family saying those who were talking negative about black men and this and that, you know, Lonnie had been pulled over by the police 4 times in 1 day. They had searched his BMW coming out of Texas at 1 time. And he was a traveling nurse and therapy. That's what he does. So they had did this and that. But I sympathize with her, and I understand what she's trying to get her family to understand. It appeared that black men are not treated equal. And they're not in many cases. We understand this. But I wrote under her post, I said, well, ask Lonnie, how did he get to live after all of the police stops and searches and all that he's gone through? Ask him, how did he walk away from that alive? I just want to hear her answer. And I had to throw in there a little bit, you know, because what was asked of him, he did it. He didn't attempt to get out the car. He didn't attempt to tell the police what it is. He didn't attempt, what you pulling me over for? He did none of this. He sat quietly, waited until the police got there to the window of the car. Whatever the police asked him for, he told them, he gave it to them. If not, he told them the reason why he didn't have it handy. When they went to run the check on him, they found out everything that he said was the truth. There were no warrants. He was not trying to escape the police. He was not trying to fight the police. He showed the police no disrespect in any kind of way. He lived to go home. He did not go to jail. There was no false stuff up against him. Coming out of Texas, 2 times they tried to search his car for drugs. The second time they were going to tear it up. And she said that he showed a report where they had searched his car before, because I guess it's the kind of BMW he had, you know. And maybe it was the way he was sporting the BMW. I don't know why they pulled him over. But he knew what to do because Lonnie has been raised. I can't help what he do now. He's a full-grown man with grandchildren himself. So I don't know what he's doing now, but he was trained in the way that he should go. He know what respect is. He know what boundaries are. Now, he may give some of it to the military because he went in the military. He may give some to different situations, work experience, or people he's been around. He may give some of that to that. But the initial start, charity starts at home. Love, teachings, and all this stuff starts at home. And sometimes our children end up around people who did not have that. And because they didn't have it, it appeared to be some great thing for some reason to them and different, so they take on the side of other people. So a lot of times in our older years, we may have trained them in the way that they should go. We may have invested in our children. But in their older years, many are not there to provide for us. But I've learned this, not to depend on them. I learned this, not to trust them. The word said, trust no man. That means your children, too. I've learned this. When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up, because there are scriptures that says, parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. There are scriptures that tell us about ourselves with our children, things we've done. So whenever we need something, we can depend on God. So he said, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Well, I learned, when my children forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And guess what? God will raise up children that are not your biological children to take good care of you. I said, good care of you. I have a goddaughter who every other week, this girl was sending me $600 or $700. I'm like, what's wrong with her? She wanted to make sure that I was well provided for. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I had retired myself unto the Lord, not unto the world, not unto Social Security. I wasn't old enough. But I retired and began full-time work for God. He opened many doors through many different sources. But he was the greatest source. He was my greatest resources. And he opened doors unto me. So the biologicals, they were not there. They forsake me, but he raised up children for me. Hallelujah, Jesus. And to this very day, sometimes I don't hear from spiritual children because I have a whole lot of them. Sometimes I don't hear from them, then all of a sudden one will show up, like Willie. Willie will show up, Mom, what you need? Well, Mom, I heard you talking about money on the show, what's needed over there. I have one, he's in Texas. And I wrote him and I said, listen, I need $20. That's all I said. And he said, oh, give me a few minutes, I'm sending it. And then he come back and he said, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's going on? I'll call you in a few minutes. I said, no need to call. I said, the $20 is not for me. I'm trying to help somebody. He said, oh. I went on and had my girl go on and send you the 20 as fast as we could. I thought it was for you. I didn't know what to think or what to do. No, it's for somebody else. So he sent me the 20. When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He will give me what I need. If I need a mother, he'll raise a mother up. If I need a father, he'll raise a father up for me. If I need a brother, a sister, a child, children, whatever it is, he will raise them up for me. And guess what? You will know it's of him. That when in Texas, he stayed with me. I was in Fairbanks, Alaska. They brought him to the shelter. His brother and sister-in-law brought him to the shelter. The sister-in-law was jealous of him and didn't like him. Many people he had problems with because of his complexion. But they brought him there, and I come to work one morning, and he was there. And I called all the children down, and each one I asked, what is it you'd like to do when you get older? Well, what is it you planning on doing? And see, when I asked him this, the Lord had me to do this because God was going to show me something. He had a need. He was young. He wasn't even 18 yet. Today he's around 34, 33, yeah, he's a grown man now. And that's what I tell him. I say, oh, you looking like a grown man now, full grown man. But he come in, and I taught him some things. And he was able to go back home. I talked with his mother. He was able to go back home. He got a job. Worked faithfully. Was glad to go to that job every day. And he was in the clothes. He was in the sneakers and this type thing. And I taught him all about this. He said, well, how much should I give you? I said, not one dime under these circumstances. I said, if they were different circumstances, then you would be, you know, allowed to pay something or two things every month, because when you leave, nobody's going to let you live in their house free or their apartment for free. Then you would have electric and water and phone and insurance. And you know, I taught him some things. And I allowed him to buy clothes and shoes and whatever he wanted. And I talked to his mom, and I had made talked to the college so that he could enroll when he got back home. And he never forgot all of these things, because he, when he came to the shelter, he didn't know what would become of him. And he's in Alaska, and he's from Texas. But God used me. And until this day, he said, hey, Ma, we have a saying that we used to tease each other with. And he would say these things to me, what's up? And he would call me that name, and I would call him the name that I called him. And we would laugh and go from there. And then there were other young people there, and one of them, she still keep up with me. Until this day, we are over on LinkedIn together. But when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So look, believers, you have it all. It is all yours, believers. Whatever it is that you want from God, it's yours. Whatever it is that you just want. He don't just supply needs, but he give wants. And for some reason, he had me to bring this. This morning, we're not a prosperity people. We're not all about stuff and things over here. We about getting it right with God so that God can be pleased and that he can accept the things that we are doing. We love him. And again, we want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto him. But he wants us to know it's all ours if we can believe, if we can obey, if we can work unto him. From a sincere heart of love. This is what he wants us to know. Yeah. And it's all right today. It's all right in Jesus' name. But we're not like the world, because many times the world expects to get something without giving something. Many times you hear people, they want to hook up. God would give us hookups in many cases, in many places. But we're not just coming to him to get without giving. He loves a cheerful giving, a cheerful giver, so we want to be cheerful in our giving unto him. When I serve a child, when I serve an adult, I'm happy to do it. Many times I've given money, and I watch the expression on the person's face. Relief has come. When I begin talking to them and they begin talking to me, I could see the strain in their faces because they didn't know how this was going to get done. Sometimes it's men with families. They don't know where the next meal coming from. The mom and the dad work. They're not looking for food stamps. They're not looking for the government to take care of them. They're taking care of themselves the best that they can. They don't have all that they need, but they're doing the best that they can on their own because they believe God blessed the child that has his own. But somebody told them about me, and they come to me. And I know it's no scam. They're not trying to get the money to buy drugs and alcohol. They are trying to provide for their household. I've seen people live in what they call below poverty areas, down around Kissimmee and all down around in there. And just to give a child an orange during the holidays, it's as if the child thought they had gold. boy 10, boy 12, girl 13. You give her barrette for her hair, and she thinks she the gift of the world now because she got a barrette. Where other children, if they don't get a PlayStation, they don't get an Xbox, they act a donkey. You give them an orange, they look at you like you from another planet. Well, these children were very grateful for an orange, a long peppermint stick during the holidays. I had a friend, and he was a professional boxer overseas. And he called me one day and said, "What you up to?" And I told him, I said, "It's coming up to Thanksgiving, and I'm trying to give out some Thanksgiving boxes." He said, "Well, I can help you with that." I said, "Well, I would appreciate it, sir." And he took me to this place where they sell fruits and vegetables at a reasonable price. And he bought boxes and boxes of vegetables. And then he said, "I'm going to give you this amount, and you can go get turkeys, you know, other things that you put in the boxes. I don't know what all you buy for Thanksgiving. I never made a Thanksgiving dinner." And he said, "When you get ready to distribute the boxes, let me know. I have a truck." Yeah. He had BMWs, Mercedes, you know. His promoter and manager, we went out to his house. This man lived like in a glass house, it looked like. The front of it had big columns. Oh, yeah, beautiful. Money are everywhere. And he helped me that year to get those boxes out. I went to the bank. I think my check I had was $72. They gave me $702. I went back into the bank to take the money back. They wouldn't take it back. They say they had to count the draw down, and it would take a while. And when they count the draw down, they would let me know. They never let me know that they overpaid me. I took the $700 and invested it into Thanksgiving boxes. Huh? God loves a cheerful giver. And he blessed me that year. Woo! Yeah. And I wasn't blessed with stuff and things. I was blessed with spiritual lessons. Yeah. He's that kind of God. So it's all yours, believers. All of it. That which the unjust is throwing up is for the righteous. Ask God for your stuff. If you want it, ask God to teach you how to be a cheerful giver, how to plant seeds, where to plant seeds, how to plant them. Ask God, where's the work for you? What would you have me to do? It's going to come up on you real strong what to do. And mean it when you go to him with this. Ask him to let your will be his will and his will be your will. So that you can get it done, so that you can get the things that you want, so that you can get the things that your heart desires. God don't have a problem with us living in the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. He don't have a problem with you driving a Mercedes, the Bentley, the big Benz. He don't have a problem with you driving a BMW, a Escalade, a Cadillac, whatever it is, a Lamborghini, whatever it is. He don't have a problem with it. Why? The earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. When we become cheerful givers, giving expecting nothing back, really, not from the person we gave to, we expect back from God. Because he said if we give, he would cause men to give into our bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You get so much in a bag or a cup or something, you got to press it down. Sometimes we shake it to make it go down further, to make more room for more to come. And this is what God will do for us. But we must work. We must believe. We must be givers. Hallelujah. I wanted to share that this morning. I came to the computer, hadn't put nothing in for the day, and right quick, the Lord gave me that. And I just began to type. I was like, "What is this me?" But I knew, and I just continued to type until I was done. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen, I have another one for you this morning, and this is by Pastor Terry K. Anderson. And I love old Terry K. out of Houston. And his message this morning is the theology of Thomas. The theology of Thomas. Y'all remember Doubting Thomas? Y'all remember Thomas said, well, y'all say y'all saw him and everything. I won't believe it unless I can, you know, see the scars in his hands and in his side. I can touch it and see it. Until then, I won't believe. Huh? Yeah. So that's who we're going in with this morning. I'm going to this one right now. And I wasn't able to download it into the studio, but I think you'll be able to hear it real nice and crisp and clear. So we're going to take a listen to Pastor Terry K. Anderson from Lily Grove Missionary Baptist Church.
Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John at chapter 20. Commencing in verse number 19 through verse 29. The Gospel record of John, chapter number 20, verses 19 through verse number 29. In the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus of them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they, hallelujah, that have not seen and yet have believed. Thank you. You may have your seat. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I want to talk a moment about the theology of Thomas. There is some pseudepigraphy written entitled The Gospel of Thomas, but I do not purport pseudepigraphy this morning. I want to put us in Thomas's mindset, because Thomas has gotten some bad press over the years. He's been called Doubting Thomas. And that's what we name people who don't easily believe. We call people who are not easy and quick to come to belief, we call them Doubting Thomas. But I want to show you this morning that that's not a bad thing. Many people are guilty of credulity. Credulity is believing without examination. And you ought not want to be in possession of an unexamined faith. Because when you believe anything, you can be led along the way by the Jim Joneses of life. You ought never want to be in possession of a faith that you have not fully examined. Several of the Lord's disciples are well known. Books could be and have been written about Peter and John and even Judas. But of some of the rest, we seem to know very little. I want to look at what the Bible has to say about one of the lesser known of the Lord's men, the disciple Thomas. We know next to nothing about his early life. We know little about his call to follow Jesus. We can infer from the text in the Gospel of John that after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, he went fishing with Peter and John. So we can infer that he was perhaps a fisherman by trade, but we know very little of the early life and the call of Thomas to follow Jesus. The name Thomas is Aramaic. The other name he has in the Bible is the name Didymus. Didymus in the Greek and Thomas in the Aramaic means twin. So we gather that Thomas had either a twin brother or a twin sister, but that person is not even identified in the scripture. But for nearly 2,000 years, Thomas has received a lot of bad publicity. He's been called Doubting Thomas. He has been negatively portrayed as a man filled with doubt and fear. But I would like this morning, brothers and sisters, with your help, to attempt to set the record straight concerning this man, Thomas. I think the Bible reveals another side of Thomas. His primary problem, I don't believe, was doubt. Thomas is not primarily Doubting Thomas. His problem was not, first of all, doubt. I think Thomas's problem was pessimism. Some people are eternal optimists. They always see the glass half full. But Thomas is an eternal pessimist. He sees the glass always half empty. Thomas is the kind of person that you've got to show him, unless he will not easily believe it. He will not fall for anything. He needs more information. Thomas deals in facts. He gets emotional after he knows the truth, while other folk are emotional and then learn the truth. Thomas says, I'll follow you, but I need more information. I'll go with you, but I got got to know where you're going. I will die for you, but I got to know I'm putting my life on the line for somebody I can really believe in. I'm not easy to believe until I see it. He seemed to always look for the negative side of every situation. Thomas was one of those kinds of people that, you know, there's a saying that behind every cloud, there's a silver lining. But Thomas believed behind every silver lining, there's a cloud. Thomas is always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Thomas does not believe that everything will always turn out all right. Because I perhaps believe he's seen some disappointment. He's known some frustration. He's known some discouragement. And Thomas will not easily follow without proof. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm on Thomas' side. I'm not against Thomas. I, for one, believe that that's an admirable quality. You don't buy a car till you test drive it. Come on, help me preach a minute. You've been to the doctor, and they want to give you some sample medication. Or they tell you you can get a generic form of this medication. I want the real thing. I don't want any samples. I don't want any generic brand. I want 100% whatever this medication is supposed to be. Now, the generic may work just fine, but it ain't name brand. I want Domino sugar. I want Del Monte peaches. I buy Shell gas. I want what I want. I don't drive up in a Mercedes to Walmart and get my gas. Somebody ought to help me talk it. I don't put Sam's gas in an X63 AMG Mercedes Benz diamond in the back. Sunroof top. Digging in the scene with a gangster. Come on, talk back to me if you can. Everything on a woman ought to be real. Everything on a man ought to be real. I don't want the fake. You ought not want a fake Gucci or fake Louis Vuitton.
Yes, sir.
Come on, help me preach if you can. If you really want it, it ought to be real. And my faith is real because I know now who Jesus is. I understood what my grandmother and my mother said, but I had to find him for myself. Those of you who were raised like I was raised, remember that was a saying growing up when we were children that every tub has got to sit on his own body. And secondly, just like you test drive a car, you ought to test drive your faith. Because any faith that has not been test driven, when the storms come, when the wind blows, that faith will not be worth very much. And I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, that many of us who come to church on Sunday morning are in possession of an unexamined faith. Because you don't know what to do in the worship. You don't know when to shout. You don't know when to give God praise. You don't know when to open your mouth. So you look around and see what everybody else is doing. And if everybody else is clapping, you start clapping. If everybody else is shouting, you start shouting. But you ought to have a faith that can sit on its own, that if nobody else praises God, I will. If nobody else lifts up hallelujahs to his name, I will. If nobody else will bless the Lord, I will bless the Lord at all His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You ought to have more than what your mama said about it. You ought to have more than what your daddy said about it. You should have been by now through enough on your own to have your own testimony. Now, I want to look at Thomas's life from three different perspectives. In verse number 24, the scripture says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Now, Thomas is not there, not because he is afraid, because when you read the text, the scripture says they were in a room with the doors shut because they were in fear of the Jews. In other words, they were hiding. That's what they were doing. They wasn't in there having a prayer meeting. They were not in there having a potluck. They were not having a committee session. They were hiding behind closed doors because they were afraid. They thought if they killed Jesus, we've been following him, they're coming for us next. They are hiding in a room for fear of the Jews. And all of a sudden, Jesus just shows up with the doors shut. He has a resurrection body, and his resurrected body is able to do what he could not do in his natural body. The door is shut, and he just shows up. He just walks through the door and shows up to say to them, "Peace be unto you." Come and put your fingers in the print of the nails. Come and touch me in my side. But Thomas, verse 24 says, is not there because Thomas is pouting. It's been fried. And he died. And they buried him. And Thomas has not gotten the word that he's risen indeed. But Thomas is not scared. The disciples, 10 of them, because Judas had already killed himself, 10 of them are behind closed doors, afraid of the Jews, but Thomas ain't scared. Because while they are hiding, Thomas is pouting. Now let me demonstrate to you from the word how I know Thomas is not afraid. In John chapter 11, around verse 16, Lazarus died. I wish I had a Bible reading. And Jesus tells them plainly that Lazarus is not sick, he's dead. He said, "I've got to go to Jerusalem and raise him, or go to Bethany to raise him from the dead," which is near Jerusalem, and Thomas knows that they've been looking for Jesus to kill him. So Thomas in verse 16 of chapter 11 says, "Well, Jesus, if you're going there, let's all go and die with him." Which means Thomas is a real man who's not afraid. Now here's what makes me know that not only is Thomas not afraid, but Thomas is not a doubter. When you get to John chapter 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." I need two or three more Bible readers. "If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am,
yes, sir,
there you will be also." But Thomas said, "Lord, wanted Jesus to say, I am. I wish I had some help.
Come on.
The way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. And Thomas said, well, all right then. If you're going, and I know now where you're going, I want to go too. Thomas said, I'm not saying I don't want to go. I just want to know where you're going. Somebody ought to help me preach it. Thomas said, it's not that I'm against heaven. I just need all the facts. I just need some more information. And don't you hate to hear sermons where you don't get more information? Don't you hate to hear Sunday school teacher teach and not prepared, and you need more information and they can't answer no questions? Thomas's question didn't intimidate Jesus. Jesus did not get angry at the question. As a matter of fact, he answered it. All right, I want you to get this. Doubt is different from unbelief. Thomas was not an unbeliever. Thomas just doubted on insufficient information. I wish I had one or two more believers. Doubt has to do with the intellect. Your mind has got to be able to process. And once Thomas got it straight in his mind, he could process it. But unbelief is a matter of the heart. No matter what you tell an unbeliever, they won't believe it. Let me see if I can make that make sense. When Jesus was on his way to the cross, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders said, if you be Christ, come down from the cross, then we will believe. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because if your faith is so tenuous and fragile and cheesecloth that God's got to work a miracle every day, your faith ain't worth nothing. He don't need to open the Red Sea for me no more. He don't need to die on the cross for me anymore. As a matter of fact, if he doesn't do anything else, he's already done. Have I got a witness? He's already opened doors. He's already put food on my table. He's already made a way out of no way. He's already shown himself to be faithful. And if he doesn't answer another prayer, I thank him for what he's already asked.
Yes, sir.
Is there anybody else here? I said, is there anybody else here willing to trust God even though you don't know how it's going to turn out? Deliver me from weak 90-pound Christians who need something spectacular to happen every day. Deliver me from this flimsy Christianity that you got to answer your phone, praise the Lord. And somebody asks you how you're doing, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And I'm blessed and highly favored. Some days I'm full of hell.
No.
I wish I had somebody to help me. Some days I'm mad when I wake up in the morning. Some days I'm not a morning person. Good month. What's good about it? My back hurting. Come on, talk back to me here. My children acting a fool. I'm sick and I'm tired of paying all these doctor bills. Somebody ought to help me talk here. Some days I'm just full of hell. And God understands. But what is so merciful and graceful about God is in the midst of my hellishness, he shows me a little bit of heaven to make me come back next Sunday. Oh, brothers and sisters, it gets hard sometimes, but there's a bright side somewhere. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. If you be not weary in well-doing, in due season you will reap. If you blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Glory is divine. I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased by God. I'm born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. I wish I had somebody else who had a story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior. Even though my children are breaking my heart, I'm praising my Savior. Even though I got hell on my job, I'm praising my Savior. Even though my brother's in prison, I'm praising my Savior. Thomas was not there because he was despondent, depressed, and discouraged. He was not there because he was brokenhearted. Thomas was somewhere pouting because in his mind, his expectations were unrealized. I will discuss in the next service, in the next sermon, at 11 o'clock hour, six reasons why you ought not miss church. But there was this man and his wife woke up one Sunday morning, and the wife excitedly started getting ready for church, and her husband didn't move a finger. And she said, "You're not going to church today?" He said, "No, I'm not going." She said, "Why?" He said, I don't want to go." She said, "Well, why don't you want to go?" He said, "I have three reasons." He said, "The congregation is cold, nobody likes me, and I don't want to go." That's my three reasons for not going to church this morning. And the wife said, "Honey, let me give you three reasons why you ought to go. The congregation is warm. Some people like you, and you're the pastor." Somebody gonna get that on the way to IHOP. Get up, put your clothes on. You are the pastor. There have been some mornings when I didn't feel like getting up and sitting by them people, shaking their hands, knowing they've been lying on me and talking about me and trying to pull me down. But I ain't coming to church for them people. Ooh. My hope is built.
Yes, sir.
I wish I had some noise there. On nothing less than Jesus' blood.
Hallelujah.
And righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Because all of the ground is sinking sand. In verse 24, Thomas is a pouter. He's pouting in verse 24. But in verse 25, he moves from pouting in verse 24 to doubting in verse 25. Verse 25 says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now look at that verse again. The other disciples therefore said unto him. That word said unto him in the Greek is in the active voice, meaning that they kept on trying to convince him. They kept on telling him what had happened. And listen, there are 10 of them in that room. And 10 people can experience the same event and have a totally different feeling about it. Now, Thomas is one of those kinds of people who knows that eyewitness testimony is not always reliable. Because again, 10 people saw him. And 10 people came with 10 different stories. And Thomas said, forget all that. I want to put my finger in the print of the nail. Now, don't get mad with Thomas, because watch this. The only reason they believe is they saw it. And Thomas is saying, how come I got to take your word? You saw it. And you want my faith to be built on what you saw? Somebody ought to help me preach it. Many of us have a faith that is flimsy and falling apart because it's built on somebody else's testimony. Thomas said, if you saw him, why would you deny me the privilege you had? I wish I had one or two more Christians here. Thomas said, now you saw him, but you don't want me to see him. You handled him. You put your hands on him, but I got to take your word. Thomas said, no. Unless I see it, unless I handle him, unless I experience him, I will not believe. And that word, I will not believe, in the Greek is a double negative. He says, I positively will not believe. Talk all you want. Shout all you want. Raise your hands all you want. That ain't my testimony. I haven't seen. And all of us have different experiences to get to Jesus. And I can't shout on your testimony if he delivered you from drugs. Because I've never been delivered from drugs. Somebody ought to help me here. If the Lord delivered you from alcohol, I can't shout on that testimony. Because I've never been drunk in my life. Because I never want to be in a place where I didn't know what was going on around me. No. I've never taken any mood-altering substances. Because I don't want to be in a room full of men and not know what's going on around me. Something scary about that. No, I need to be sober and in my right mind, because you might accidentally do something wrong and get on Facebook and talk about Reverend Anderson was there.
Okay.
And then I got to kill you.
Oh my goodness.
No, I don't want nothing touching me that ain't got no business touching me. I don't want nobody kissing me who ain't got no business kissing me. Because this social media is going to make me have to kill you. So I want to be in control of my environment at all times, so I can't shout on God delivering somebody from drugs. But I was on my way to hell.
Yes, sir. Come on.
I said I was lost and on my way to hell. And I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. And I came to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
As I was.
Yes, sir.
Weary.
Ooh.
Worn. And sad.
Yes, sir.
But I found in him a resting place.
Oh, yeah.
And he has made me glad.
Yes, sir.
At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy
all the day.
Oh, how well do I remember how I doubted day by day when I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. When the Spirit tried to tell me I would not the truth receive, I endeavored to be happy and to make myself believe. But since I've been walking with it, since I've been talking with him, it's real. Somebody ought to help me preach it. I know it's real. All doubts are settled. I don't need to take your word for it. I don't need to take your testimony for it. I know God for myself.
Unless I keep you too long this morning, Thomas in verse 24 is pouting. In verse 25, he's doubting. But in verse 26 through 29, he's shouting. Because Jesus shows up one more time. And when he shows up, he says, peace be unto you. Thomas is in the room this time. You're going to help me close this, won't you? And Jesus does not talk to the disciples now. He's talking directly to Thomas. Because he wants to settle Thomas's doubts. You gonna help me finish this, won't you? He says, Thomas, come here. Put your finger in the print of the nails. Thrust your hand in my side. And the King James does not do a justice to this passage. Because in the King James Version, it says, Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And it makes it seem that he was tame and quiet when he said that. But that's not how the literal translation of Thomas's shout really goes. Somebody ought to help me close it. Thomas did not sit down there and say, my Lord and my God. Like some of you dead fish in here this morning. Thomas did not handle Jesus and say, my Lord and my God. But Thomas had a Carl Scott kind of shout. My Lord and my God. And when you handle and touch Jesus, the only response you can have is my Lord. I doubt seriously that you've ever come in contact with Jesus if you can't shout. I said I doubt very seriously that you really, really, truly, sure enough, for real, no kidding, know who Jesus is, and you can't open your mouth and give him hallelujah, loud shouting, kind of thunderous praise. Thomas didn't give him a little golf clap and say, my Lord and my God. He was far more excited than some of you seem to be this morning. Because he has put his hand on Jesus. And anybody here who has experienced Jesus for him or herself, you can't sit there and say, my Lord and my God. You got to open your mouth. I said, you got to open your mouth. I said, you got to open your mouth and give God loud, thunderous, hallelujah kind of praise. It don't bother me that nobody likes my noise. It does not upset me that I'm getting on your nerves.
kind of faith that I have this morning. I said, you don't know what kind of burdens I've had to bear to have the kind of hallelujah I have this morning. It cost me something to praise God the way I praise God this morning. Somebody lost your mama when you was a child. They can't stop you from praising God. Somebody, the Lord has delivered you from a drug addiction. They can't hold you down when it comes to praising God. Somebody here was sick and couldn't get well, and the Lord healed your body, and you trying to tell me to be quiet? Somebody here know you're supposed to be in the penitentiary, but he looked beyond your faults and saw all of your need. And somebody trying to tell you, hold it down. You making too much noise. You better go sit somewhere else. You better get out of my face with that. Because I came here this morning to give God my best hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. He walks with me.
Yes,
he talks with me.
He
tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share. You think I'm going to let you intimidate me about how I praise the Lord? I think I ought to tell you one more time. Praise is the rent we pay on blessings that we already enjoy. And some of us this morning are behind in our rent payment. God's been good to you, and you didn't thank him Monday. God woke you up this morning, and you didn't praise him Tuesday. God put food on your table, and you didn't reverence him on Wednesday. God protected you all last week, and you didn't tell him thank you Thursday.
Come on.
God provided for you all a week, and you didn't shout on Friday. God made a way for you all last week, and you didn't praise him yesterday. Well, now is the time to catch up on your rent payment. Now is the time to tell God, thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for opening doors for me. I used to be a pouter. I used to be a doubter. But since I met Jesus, now I'm a shouter. Is there any shouters here this morning? I said, is there any shouters here this morning? If the Lord opened doors for you, you ought to shout this morning. If the Lord made a way for you, come on, help me shout this morning.
Yes,
why don't you grab somebody? Why don't you shake somebody's hand? Tell them, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. He brought me. He kept me. He saved me. He raised me.
Yes,
sir. He took the clothes. Is there anybody here used to pout all the time because everything didn't go your way, and then you start doubting sometimes because it looked like God wasn't going to show up? But now since God has shown up and made your life better, you're not pouting, you're not doubting. This morning you're shouting. Now if you're standing next to somebody who don't feel like shouting, find you somebody else who look like they know who Jesus is. Find you somebody else. Stand by somebody else who look like they've been born again. Stand by somebody else who look like they know who Jesus is. Why don't you grab somebody? And both of y'all right now, shout, 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 he's been good. Yeah, he's been good.
Was the 16th president, and George Washington was the first president. I
never met any one of them. I just read it in a book. And I also read in a book.
Ooh,
that his hair was like lamb's wool.
Yes, sir.
His eyes were like flames of fire.
Yes, sir.
His legs were like marble stone.
Mm.
His feet were like polished brass, as though they had burned in a fiery furnace.
Yes, sir.
If you want to know the answer, turn to the back of the book. Because in the back of the book, I saw a new heaven.
Yes, sir.
And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away.
Yes, sir.
And there was no more sea.
Mm.
And I heard a voice out of heaven,
yes, sir,
saying the tabernacle of God is with men.
Mm.
And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. I believe it.
Yes, sir.
Because it's in the book.
All right.
I'm starting because it's in the book. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All doubts, yes, have been settled.
Yes, sir.
And I know that I know that I know that I know God is real.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thomas. Thomas is one of my favorite disciples. Because Thomas didn't just take it hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas said, I can get with it if you show me some more information.
Mm-hmm.
I can follow you if I know where you're going. I can get with your program if you give me some more information. And let me tell you the last reason I know Thomas wasn't scared. Because Thomas winded up in India preaching the gospel.
Mm.
Because he had handled Jesus himself.
Amen.
Thomas died a martyr's death. He was speared through and through and died. And his last words, according to historian Josephus, is my Lord and my God.
Thank you. This is the kind of radio you need. Yes, Jesus is a morning radio. Bold radio for real people.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a message today. Pastor Terry K. Anderson, the Theology of Thomas. And I tell you the truth, I get excited to hear this part. We are blessed, those of us who never saw him. We didn't see the miracles that he performed. We wasn't there, you know, when he healed the blind man. We wasn't there when he went over to Jairus' house, you know, to heal the daughter. We wasn't there when Zacchaeus was up in the tree. We wasn't there to see the resurrection of Lazarus raised from the dead. We just wasn't there. Never met Mary. I never met Peter, John, none of these. But he said, yet, oh yeah, we blessed if we believe. We yet believe. We never saw him. I can't doubt him. I have too much evidence that he's alive and well. I believe what his word said because I put it to the test and it proved to do what he said it would do. And then I found out that his word won't return void. I get excited right there. I get excited right there because his word is true. Every word of God is true. Yeah. Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. We just need to find him. Because he's the way. We need to find the way. I know that it's truth. And he can be in our life if we choose for him to be. If we don't doubt. If we don't lean to our own understanding. Yeah. If we'll just acknowledge him in all our ways, he's going to direct our path. We don't want to be wise in our own eyes. We want to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Yeah, we want to take up our cross and follow him. Oh, yeah. We didn't see him yet. We didn't see him, but we yet believe because one day, as Terry K. said, one day our faith is going to cause us a reality that we see him. We can touch him. We can feel him. I can feel him today. I can touch him today. But I'm talking about we are flesh and blood. And so we believe in natural things. When we see it in the natural, we know that it is. So one day he's going to manifest himself. We're going to get to see him for who he really is. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ah, I like that right there. I like that right there. We're going back with him. You may not have gotten everything right. You know, you may not have just crossed every little T and dotted every little I, but you believe. That good thing that he began to do in you, he will continue until the day that it ends. He will continue to do this in you until he come back. Until you pass away, sleep away. He will continue to perfect that work that he started in you. You believed. It went from there. You made a decision to seek his word, to study his word. You made a decision to have a daily prayer life. No matter what come your way, you still desire to praise him. I can't do it all that I feel like I should do. I feel like I should be doing much more, but I don't really know how to really get it all in there. But I believe, hallelujah, he's going to continue to grow you. He's going to continue to perfect you. Hallelujah. Look at this. Oh, he loves us today. He loves us today in spite of us. He's on our side today. In spite of us. He's looking beyond our faults today and yet meeting our needs. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a God. Woo! Woo! As they say, I wouldn't take nothing for him now. I wouldn't take nothing for this journey right now. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's priceless. You can't pay for it. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, the studio is open. If there's anyone have something this morning that they would like to say, feel free to press that number one and come in. You may want to talk about it this morning. You may want to talk about you believe. Hallelujah. You may want to talk about going back with him when you get there. You're striving. Hallelujah. Whatever the case may be, the studio is open this morning. You may have a prayer request. You may have a different testimony, whatever it is. Yeah. Every opportunity that come open to me that I can open my mouth and say something about the goodness of him, that's me. I don't care what nobody say. I'm running my mouth about him. Why? He's been good to me. I'm telling you, he brought me from a mighty long way. He brought me into a place that I had no clue it would be like this. And I'm not just talking about in the natural. I'm talking about spiritually. Back in the day, anybody would have told me I can forgive enemies and forget it. I would have said, you're nuts. I will never forget what they did to me. And if you had to watch me, because if I got a chance, I was going to do double back to them. Sometimes it could be out in the public. Sometimes it could be quietly done. When it hit them, they didn't even know what was hitting them because they didn't expect that. But today, if any man, that's what he said in his word and his truth, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We don't think the same way. We don't do the same thing. Yeah, I'm like Terry K. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I can't trust nothing else. I can only trust him. I can only hold on to him because he's a sure foundation. He's a foundation that never cave in. He's a foundation that never crack. It never goes away. It's always there. I can depend on it. I can go to sleep at 12 o'clock and wake up at 4 o'clock and it's still there. It goes nowhere. The songwriter blessed me to know what a friend I have in Jesus. Hey, God, all my sins and griefs, I bear them. Why Barbara bear them? All because she do not carry every little thing to God in prayer. Hallelujah. I got to take it to him. I can't do nothing with it. Yeah. Now, I can do all things through Christ. It strengthens me. But I can't do nothing with stuff, certain things. I have to take it to him and leave it with him. I take it to the altar and leave it there. Walk away looking for somebody to help, looking for somebody else to be a blessing to. Yeah. And he stepped right in. And then I turn around and look. What I needed to have done is already done. What I wanted, he has already given it. He's that kind of God. And people see me as strange because I don't have to know you to help you. Yeah, that which brings me to this. I'm trying to get 30 more sewing machines. I got 5 already, but I need 30 more. And the people that I'm trying to help, I didn't really know them, but the way he come to me, I was going to brush it off. I was going to say, no, you know, you from Pakistan, and I'm busy, and, oh, I had every excuse in the book. Ike Turner said I had more excuses than a person going to jail. But the Lord brought me back, and he showed me, hey, stop, look. I saw one thing in writing. But the Lord showed me another. And then as I waited on the Lord, this man come back, and what the Lord had showed me, he began to explain it. That way I know it's God. I know it's my work. It's what I got to do. So I agreed that the sewing machines are $70 each. And I agreed to buy 2. Well, another sister come, and she bought one. I said, you send more money? She said, for the sewing machine. Then another brother came, and he gave $35, and another sister came, and I think she gave $35. That made one more sewing machine. And then I'm going to purchase two, which is $140. So right now we have a total of five sewing machines, and we need 30 more because we're buying them for 35 ladies, and they would get together and sew and sell the clothes that they sew. And each lady will have money to help provide for the house, because many of their husbands work for $3 a day. Yeah, you know, he got deep with me and showed me some things, and I had researched some things, but $3 a day in 2021? And he told me, he said, they're very poor. And I know what he's talking about, because right here in these United States, down around a place called Kissimmee, Florida, out there where Disney at, there's a place called Meridia, and those people are living below poverty. I'm not telling you what somebody told me. I'm telling you from experience. My son pastored a church over there. And every time you turn around, they're back over there giving to that community. He went to the city, and they built a community center. And you can come to that community center and get food and clothes and different things that's needed. They're always trying to do something for that Meridia community because they were below poverty people. And, you know, because they have a certain standard for poverty. But then if you're below that standard, then you're below poverty. I mean, you are basically, you have nothing. I've been in places in a place called Apopka, Florida. I know Brother Louie know what I'm talking about. And Jerry and Wicked, they may know those that are Sion Dot, you know, from Florida. They in Florida. They know what I'm talking about. In the Apopka area, there was a lady, she had, this woman had some children, more children than I had, and I had eight biologicals. And they lived in an old trailer, and they had cardboard up for windows and dirt for floors. And I couldn't imagine how they stayed in there when it rained and a storm or anything. And the mom didn't have shoes. And, you know, people would say it's because she didn't want better. It was the year 1996 or 97, whatever it was, she could do better. No, now that you got all these kids, somebody got to be home and watch the kids. And then, you know, when you don't know better, you can't do better. And it depends on the way you were raised. Yeah. So if you was raised to just have children and stay home, it's a lot to it. But people see it as, I went and I got mine. You need to get your mind together to go get yours. But everybody don't think alike. And some people just need some help. And once you give them this little bit of help, then they begin to think right. If you know this, they taught me this too, and I had to agree. I can go out and witness to the hungry and the homeless all I want to. I can tell them all about God if you just believe this, that, and the other. But if a person is hungry, they hear, but they're not listening, because they're trying to still figure out a way to get some food. You talking and they're wondering, well, wonder if she's able to give me a plate of groceries. Is she able to send me down to Burger King to get me a burger and a drink and some fries, a shake or something? Or when is she able to just buy me a 50-cent bag of fries or whatever they cost now, you know? So I learned this too. Once you take care of the needs, they can better hear you. But the needs have to be met. I learned that. Because, see, I was out here just teaching Jesus. I'm out here just teaching faith. Come on now, let's just believe God. Stomach growling. I remember one day down by the homeless mission. They was out there on the sidewalk shooting dice. I went down there. And they was talking to me, this one man, he was talking to me, never took his eyes off the dice game. Where you come from? What you want out here? I said, well, I come out here to bring the word, and I come to bring these lunches. He said, well, tell me what you got to say. Hey, baby, get us one of them lunches and the drinks he got. I was so tickled, y'all. Went on back up the sidewalk. They said, we hear you. I threw my card in the middle of the dice game. By the dice and the money, threw my Jesus in the Morning card and walked on back down to the other end. I don't know about what's going to bother me because their mind and their eyes was too busy on the money and the dice. So I walked down to the other end. There was two men sitting there. And one of them was talking about marrying me and everything. And then when he found out I couldn't marry him and everything, he said, well, I just have to cut you and this and that. And I said, well, I don't believe you. You that kind of person. The man said, yeah, he just cut somebody last night. I said, well, okay. And he pulled his big knife out. Look, y'all got to know me. I'm a nut. I'm laughing. He started laughing, and the other man started laughing. He said, well, look, get on now. Go on for Ryan here. You see what's going on down on this end. I said, yeah. I said, I'm finna go. And I took my basket. Well, I gave him a sandwich and, you know, a bag and a drink, and I went on down the road. The next time I came, they ran down there to help me unload the car. What you got today? I said, a bag of lunches and drinks. Yeah, how many cases? I told him, I said, come on, y'all, let's help her. They went in the trunk, got the cases, set them down. The people made a line. I didn't even ask them to make a line. And then, the trays I had the lunches in, they just got them and stacked them. And he said, give them out. I said, y'all start giving them out. He said, y'all come to work. You come to help me. Go ahead. And see, that showed them I trusted them. And they gave every lunch and every drink out till it was no more. And they said, we'll see you the next time. I said, thank y'all so much. Yeah, stood there, talked with them for a few minutes, and jumped in the Silver Soldier, that 1998 Ford Contour, and rolled out. Robin Lynn Maven used to do the show, you know, control everything while I was out giving the lunches out. And I would be doing Jesus in the Morning from the streets. Uh-huh. Yeah, God is faithful. I come a long ways. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you today. Yeah. But I learned that you got to meet the need, then they can better hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hard to preach to an empty stomach. Amen, Brother Lewis. Did you send me the address, Brother Lewis? Email it to me, please, sir. I got to match it up. So if you email it to me, I can match it up and get started. Thank you so much, Brother Lewis. Yeah. Thank you for posting scriptures, too. God bless you. Brother George West Perry still hanging on in there. Good morning, sir. Good morning, Apostle Boatwright. God bless you this morning. Let's do some roll call. I think I roll call in a couple of days. And I was able to send Brother Mike Hopps, the lady that's cooking outdoors. He said, that look good. Oh, yeah, I bet it tastes good. Now, when she cooked that lamb, I'm not a lamb eater. I don't eat lamb. And, you know, I think it's too because I see lambs as innocent and harmless. And you're going to kill them and eat them. I don't like it. So I don't eat lamb. Mm-mm. I'll kill some chicken, though. They say it's because I'm black. But I don't care what color I was. I think I'd be down with that fried chicken, especially. And some good roasted chicken. Oh, yeah, it don't make a difference about my nationality. It's them taste buds. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy, Sister Mary Ann, Sister Rose Brown, Sister Simon. Good morning, Sister Melody Rose, Sister Angela, Sister Laura, Sister Alexis, Minister Jacqueline, Sister Bernella, Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, Sister Corey Bush, Sister Jared, good morning, good morning, good morning. And Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluka, Sister Lisa, and Sister Yvonne. Let me make sure I didn't miss nobody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And God bless you, God bless you. Did I say good morning, Sister Jerry? Yeah. And good morning to you again, Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Dan, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother Mike in Orlando, Pastor Herring, Pastor James Brown, again, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, good morning to you, sirs. Good morning to you. And Brother Coleman, good morning. Brother Frank, good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you. Those that's coming through the archives and the podcast, good morning to you, and God bless you. I thank God for you, and you're never left out in my prayers, because I thank God for you, and I see the numbers. I see that you go after the show has gone off, and you take a listen, and some people take a listen more than one time. And listen, on that page, it's over 500,000 listens. People have come to listen to Jesus in the morning. Hallelujah. And so we're grateful unto Almighty God for this. We thank him for it. And I know eventually more is coming, but sometimes less is more, if you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes less is more. God sent this faith for few, and I'm grateful because he know my heart. He know how I am. I like to know people. I like to know their name. I like to call your name some days and, you know, different things like that. Now, if it was 100,000 of us, it's no way I could do this. Hey, Brother D, good morning. God bless you, sir. Thank God for you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Glory. Hallelujah to his majesty. Oh, God is faithful. God is faithful. And so, it's no way I could do this if I had 100,000 people faithfully coming every morning, studio full, chat room full. I couldn't be kind of one-on-one with everybody. But God gave me the faithful few, and I know names, and then he showed me who's who. He showed me who want him, who's willing to stay with him. I don't care I got to get up early in the morning. I don't care if I got to sneak at work and listen. I'm going to do the best I can to listen. Talked to Brother Jermaine yesterday, I think it was. Yeah. And a great friend to him. He said, Sister Barbara, I know I said just a few minutes. He said, but when we get to talking, well, it's what? Perry. God bless you. God bless you. Woo-hoo-hoo. Hey, glory to his majesty. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. He said, but Sister Barbara, when we get to talking, when we know that thing, time doesn't pass. Because we go from one thing to another. And Brother Jermaine is a man who helped me in many ways. And if there's something I need to really take a deep look at, he can help me. Yeah, like Brother Louis. See, things I don't know right offhand. I can say something about it. Louis will get it to me right now. That's the way he is. I can say something about a scripture and just, I may not put all the words together. He'll go on and put the whole scripture, the name, you know, the verse, the chapter. Yeah, he does all that. So God sent me some help. I just got to use what he sent me. And I'm grateful. Louis is in there every morning blessing me. And I thank him for that. I thank you, Brother Louis. I give you a high five on that. I thank you so much. And I'm just happy. I'm just happy today with the Lord. And I thank him again for each of you, each of you, each of you. I thank God for you. Thank God for the laughs. Thank God for the morning coming together as a group to give God the first fruit of our day here. Yeah. As this faithful little group. Yeah. So I'm thankful unto the Lord. Yeah. I know it's all right today. I know it's all right. And I know God is doing much more, much more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, look, the studio's still open. Jerry, if you have something you really want to say, press that number one and come in. Because now, if the Lord, you know, I know you, so if the Lord is not speaking to you, you won't do it. But I don't want people to feel like, well, I said something yesterday, I shouldn't say nothing today. Yeah, every day God wake you up, don't it? Do he say, well, I woke him up yesterday, I won't wake him up today, I'm going to wake him up Saturday. No, that's not what he does. He wake us up every day clothed in our right mind with the use and activity of our limbs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Ms. Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I am well. I am well. I was soaking in what the pastor had preached on. And as you well know, I've had serious, serious accidents. But one accident, I was in my sin and God saved me. I am committing adultery and God saved me. I was backing out of a driveway down on the gas real hard because, you know, when you back out, you press on the brakes. I backed into a tree. It just felt like I just bumped a tree. I bust the left side of my face open. I totally lost my CRV. But before I bumped the tree, it's like my life flipped pages in front of me. And I said, oh, Jesus, save me. I was on the phone in my sin. I dropped the phone and said, Jesus, save me. Right then, not an hour later, Jesus saved me right then. Left side of my face was just a total, ooh, it busted open. I didn't even feel no pain. The police came, they breathalyzed me and everything. They said, you want to go to the hospital? I said, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I didn't even get stitches. But when you look at my face, you don't see no scar. You don't see no mark. But I see God clearly each day. The person I was committing adultery with says, I don't understand you. You done changed ever since you hit that tree. No, I changed before I hit that tree because I asked God, save me. And I was going fast, but it's like the pages was going, it's like a second went by. And God said, I'll save you if you serve me. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. At that moment on April 10th, 2010, I stopped everything that was not like God. I mean, I stopped running with the drug addicts, stopped running with the ungodly. Yes, I got that divorce because it was already in process and I had to go to court. But God saved me and he kept me just where I was. He did not allow me to leave this house. I was like, God, I want to get out of here. I don't want to be in here no more. I just complained and complained, and then he reminded me one thing. You said you would serve me. I soon shut up. I don't throw temper tantrums anymore with God. I say to God, show me the way so I don't go the wrong way. God, no, I got to stop hanging with your niece. Yes, I got to stop hanging with Denise over there. Yes, I got to stop hanging with Roy and Kenny because there I almost went to jail. But instead of going to jail, the police let me go and sent them to jail. They didn't allow me to come see them because when I went to see them, they said, you don't belong here. Don't come back no more. They took my name off their visiting list. The girls and the male, the female and the male, took my name off. When they got out, I saw Kenny. I went, hey. He stood across the street. He said, don't come near me. But you look good, Jerry. Keep in mind, what I do is not for you. I love you, Jerry, but you can't come near me. You got work to do. And he was right. Because if I go to jail, I can't be a foster parent. if I go to jail, God will meet me where I'm at, but I'm messing up the plan that God has for my life. So am I doubting, Thomas? I was until God met me right there in the midst of that accident. He showed me he was real. He showed me the way. You don't need to do this. You don't need to be somebody called girl. You need to be my beloved daughter. And I tell you, there's nothing, absolutely nothing I can't ask God for that I won't receive. Not just money, not just material things. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about blessing my children. God, I need some money to be a blessing to somebody. Before I know it, you'll say, use your Social Security check. Do this. But God, I said when I got my stimulus. He didn't ask me that, but I went immediately and do what he said. Then when I got my stimulus, he said, you said when you got the stimulus, you're going to do that. God, I still did the 10%. Now I'm learning what God is teaching me. I don't care what you have, Jerry. I can make it go further. I went from a $79,000 job a year to, oh, God, real low Social Security. But I'm living better and more on this little than I did the 79. It looked like I had more bills than a little bit. On the Social Security, I have leftovers and doing better. And that's, God said, that's the way I work, Jerry. I can take $1 and do as much as $1,000. Trust me. Trust me with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. Ask me and I'll direct your path. He talks to me in my sleep. He talks to me even when I'm asleep. At a certain time, he'll say, cut that TV off. I cut the TV off. He told me, stop looking at the news. He got me looking at this program called Parenthood. Because now I can receive, and I can see some of the things I did wrong. But I did raise the children as I would have them to go. I have a 40-year-old son. He's never went to jail, and he's very respectful. But as I heard Sister Barbara say, he may give that to the Marine Corps. It was the Marine Corps that did this for me. It was that school that did that. It was it. But I know it was God and myself that got him as respectful because he's been pulled over numerous times. He has this ACRA. I mean, it's a bad thing. It's bad to the bone. But he gets pulled over. I said, well, what do you do, Robert? How do you handle that? I sit there when they say do this. First thing I do, I turn the car off. When they come to the window, I already have it down, even if it's raining. I put my hand on the steering wheel. And when they say I need your license and registration, I already have it in my lap, I give it to them. Because you know when you get pulled over, Mom, that's the first thing they want, license and registration. You have to use common sense. These people that's getting shot, they're trying to hide something. I don't have nothing to hide. And if I had something to hide, if you act like you got some sense, they're not going to bother you. So I give them license and registration. They see my Marine Corps tag. They say, so you served in the military? Yes, sir. Are you still active? No, sir. Have you went this place? He say, I give them a yes, sir, no, sir, and thank you, sir. They let me go. But if I act crazy, they're going to yank me out the car and throw me to the ground. It's depending on your demeanor as to how they're going to treat you. Maybe many won't agree with me. But your demeanor plays a great part on how you treat it. I have a 27-year-old. That's Big Al. Oh, God. But God saved him even when he's wrong. God will tell him to get out, go in your house and do this. He has a carload of people that's doing wrong. He's in a carload of people that's doing wrong, but he said, hey, pull over, I need to jump into my apartment. While he's getting up going in the apartment, the police are coming out the bushes doing a sting on the car. My child is covered under the grace of God. Then I have a 24-year-old. People say, well, you're going to have to hospitalize him. He'll never talk. He's very autistic. He has Asperger's, Heiser. This child can speak three languages. He doesn't act like he has Asperger's. And you want to know what else? He talks when he wants to talk. But he's not institutionalized, and he functions very well. He knows how to wash his clothes. He knows how to make up his bed. Maybe that's not much to many, but that's a lot to me. He's never received a C in his life. All of my children, including my grandchild, have always been on the honor roll because I'm an advocate for education. I don't make it like, sit down, let's spell together. No, we start a game. I teach children how to spell with a game. And then I'll tell them, if you don't know this, that's just ask Google. Spell it to Google and ask them what it spells. See, I make it exciting. Now I'm helping my next door neighbor's son, and he said, I don't want you teaching me my math, Mommy. I want to go to that lady house next door. Sometimes I'm so tired when the little boy come over, but somehow or another I get energy up. Because God say, help those that can't help themselves. So I promise to be with him for the rest of my life. Yes, I changed ever since the day I hit that tree. I will never be the same. I can't go back. The bridge says nothing behind you because that's old things have passed away. Psalm 121 says, I look to the hills from which my help cometh from. All my help comes from the Lord. Even I'm divorced, my ex-husband say, live here till you die, Jerry. He died in the house with no house payment. I have no bills. I went from owing everybody in the world to no bills and less money. So today I just have to say, Lord, I thank you. Yes, I used to be doubting Thomas. Well, I can do this. All I got to do is say, I'm sorry, God. Yeah, that's what they say. But no, I don't play with God like that. No, 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 no. I can't play with God because he don't play with me. I set my alarm every morning to get up to enjoy this show. There were times I was like David. I slept all day. But an idle mind is a devil's workshop. So I cannot let the devil get in my mind before I let God get in my spirit. So I tell God each morning when that alarm go off, I'm getting up. Oh, I got to get this show on. I'm waiting in the queue. I'm waiting to hear what thus say the Lord today because he won't lead me in the wrong direction. He comforts me, and he tells me I am his own. And for that, that's what I believe. But I'm on the wheel. God still has to work this little piece of work over here. He has, before I make any decision, I have to stop and say, God, if this be you. And when he speaks and say, Jerry, that's a mistake. Thank you, Lord. I don't even argue with God anymore. Because I got the patience, they that wait on the Lord. Wait. Wait patiently. Don't wait. Say, okay, God, I've been waiting 12 years now. Okay. He died for us. I didn't die for him. Let's not get it mixed up. So what you waited 12 years, I can snatch the breath out and you don't have to wait no more. So I'm going to wait until he says, servant, well done. Not depart from me, for I know you not. No, I don't want to be in that line. I want to be servant well done. And that's what I want to say this morning, Sister Barbara. Thank you, Jesus, for this day.
He's that kind of God. He's on our side, make ways out of no ways. We looking for one thing, he brings another. He's that kind of God. We keep the faith. Yeah, some of us have some testimonies that will grow the hair on your head quickly. Or either make it stand up straight on your head. Yeah. Because of where God has brought us from, the things now that we know he will do for us. Many looking in the natural should have been dead and gone. But God continued to keep us. Hallelujah. As the songwriter said, we should have been dead and gone, but God let us live on. Yeah, he allowed us to live on because he's not through with our lives. Because in many places our lives touch him. He knows the very intent of our heart. Yeah. He knows exactly what's in your heart today. And so we thank him for being on our side. We thank him for making ways out of no ways. Yeah, he's for us today. And we give him glory. We give him the honor. And we give him the praise. Hallelujah. I have a quick request to go to this morning. So I'm going to play this request when we come back. The studio is still open. And if no one have anything to say when we come back, I will pray us out. But if you have something to say this morning, we have time, press that number one and come in. Hallelujah. Let's go to this one.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends say, let me down. But I still believe it's turning around for me. Around for me. Around for me. Around for me, it's turning around for me.
Around for me.
Can you just say it into the atmosphere?
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
'Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking.
God is
making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong,
if I stand strong and believe,
there's no reason to doubt.
I
know he's working it
out.
And it's turning around. This is the good news. It won't always be like this. He will perfect that concerning me. And sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor. Turning around for me. It won't always be concerning me. And sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Sooner or later,
turn in my favor. Just lift your hands to the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. Now let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me.
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 It's turning around. I can see, I can feel it happen.
Encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah. Sooner or later, it's going to work in my favor because God is turning it around for me. Around for me. He's turning that evil, he's turning that bad into something good for me. The enemy meant it as evil. He sent it to destroy me. He sent it to kill me. But God turned it around. Hallelujah. And it's working for my good today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we thank God this morning and thank God for the message today and all that he's doing for us. Big things, great things this month he's going to do for us. And we thank him. We thank him. I'm so excited today because God is moving in a mighty way. Oh, he did already. Hallelujah. And so I'm so thankful unto him. I give him glory, honor, and praise. And I can't do nothing without him today. Thankful. Just thankful unto him. So is there anyone else have something they would like to say? Press that number one. We still have a little time left. Yeah, and you still have time to say something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I know Brother Frank is here today. I know he's busy and everything, but he tunes in. And when I see that 702 number, I see 111. Yeah, that blesses me. It blesses me because the Lord knows my prayer. When I see that 706 area code, it blesses me because God knows my prayer. And so I'm thankful unto him. I'm thankful unto him. Hallelujah. And we give him glory. We give him the honor and praise today. So if no one have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And I'm going to be in prayer today because I don't know what God has given me for tomorrow. He didn't already give it to me yet. So I'm waiting to see. And as soon as he give it to me, I run to the computer and put it in. And so we thank him. Hallelujah. Fresh, fresh. He give us fresh. Some people say, well, he's giving fresh matter. He's giving fresh to us. And so we thank him. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning thanking you for another Thursday morning. Father, we thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for all you've done for us already this day. Thank you for what you're doing right now, and Father, what you're going to do. And Father, today, I ask that you would bless your people. You know what they stand in need of. You know what their heart's desires are. Father, move by your spirit for them today. Show them your love, God. Hallelujah. Show them that you're on their side in spite of themselves. And Father, show them today that you look beyond fault and yet meet needs. Shower down upon them blessings from heaven today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Remember their heart's desires. And Lord, money makes us happy and money makes us glad. Money, big, big money. And we ask that you would shower money down upon us today. That God, we pay everything on time. Some things before time. Lord, there are things that we desire to do for others. Bless us today that we are able to do these things. In the name of Jesus, for it's you that love a cheerful giver. And Father, we love a cheerful giver, and we love being cheerful givers. Do it for us today. In the name of Jesus, help us to remember, Father, not to doubt, but to believe. And Lord, if it's what we need to investigate, then, Lord, give us that ability. Give us the heart and mind to do it. But, Lord, if it's you, just let us simply believe. Because if you sent your son, Jesus, or you're not after us to hurt us, but, God, you want to bless us. You want to bring us in a place where we should be with you. So we ask this morning in the name of Jesus. And as we depart again, God, bless our going out. Bless our coming in and meet the need in our lives today according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you the honor, the praise. And Father, we come to you in spirit and in truth again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. April the 15th, 2021, in Jesus' name. And listen, they extended the tax time. They extended it until May. So today is not a day you have to rush and get your taxes done. You got a little extension there. I just thought I would throw that in. So have a blessed day again, and I'm going to say bye-bye for now.